Good morning. Pleasure to be here. It's a nice drive coming up this morning. It must have been an Eagles day out. Everywhere I looked, there were eagles. They're beautiful. They really are beautiful, the way they fly and glide. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that as we consider this passage for this morning, that your Holy Spirit will be here with us to direct us, that we will come to a closer walk with you, to appreciate your love for us each one, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, this is going to be the introduction to what we're going to look at over the next few visits, which will be the Sermon on the Mount. But Matthew chapter 4, this is the setting I want us to appreciate, and beginning with verse 23. It's a beautiful setting. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. We have before us a scene that is very interesting. As you take in what is presented, you find that Jesus is very much the flavour of the month. It was seen that he could do no wrong. The people were flocking to hear his words. The sick were being healed. Devils were being cast out. Everyone was being put back together again. It was a good place to be. No one wanted to leave. It's great. And as you take in this situation, the question could be asked, why do anything that would change this? Why rock the boat? Jesus was doing a good thing. Couldn't this do? Leave the job for someone else to do, the hard bits. Hey, why alter things? Leave the hard bits for someone else to do and just take the popular vote. Take the popular route. And I guess how easy it could have been for Jesus to do that. But that was not in the overall plan. As we know that Jesus did come with a purpose, and just letting the good times roll would not achieve the end result that was needed. And so the day had come when Jesus would have to lay it all on the line. And the people were hoping that he would finally do something. In their hearts was the longing that Jesus would somehow be the promised one, the one who would set them free from the Romans. And as the days went by, the longing for this revelation was becoming stronger. As the days went by, the size of the crowd would increase. And now we come to this scene where the people are looking to Jesus with hope in their hearts. Would he now set up this new order? Would there now be a new kingdom with the throne of David put back in its rightful place? Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he had set, the disciples came unto him. on this day. They had initially gathered by the sea, but there were so many people there. It became clear that this location would not do. And so, taking them up to the mountain, Jesus found a lovely flat spot where there was room for all. And having sat himself down, the people sat around him and waited with bated breath for him to begin. With hope in their hearts, they waited for him to state that the kingdom of David, this brilliant kingdom that David had, that they knew about, they heard about in the history books, was about to begin again. Keep in mind also the different groups that were in the crowd that day. The rich, the poor, those who were discouraged, those who were looking for a better life. They all saw in this person one who would rid them of the Romans and start a new chapter. They saw in him the one who would be the hero. They had heard the words of John the Baptist. What were those words? Matthew chapter 3. Come with me to Matthew chapter 3. Let's consider these words of John. Matthew chapter 3. And in verse 1 we read, "And in those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, Repent. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Verse 11. "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." John chapter 1. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. 29. John chapter 1 verse 29. "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I have said, After me cometh a man who was preferred before me, for he was before me." You know, as you consider these words, the point becomes plain that this Jesus would not fit into what they were hoping for. On one level they knew this, but they chose not to listen. They wanted the easy road. And they saw in Jesus the one who would do it for them. How easy it is for us all to fall into that trap. And fell into that trap they did. They were sitting there with hope that day for the big thing was going to happen. And yet the sad truth is that Jesus wanted it to happen. Jesus wanted to make them the head again. Jesus wanted to make Israel special again. But there was just one condition. Follow me. And they couldn't do it. They could not do it. You know how we must learn to follow Jesus. How we must be willing to make him number one in our lives. To let him do the leading. I'm reminded of the words of James. James chapter 4. Come with me there. James chapter 4. And verse 6. "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore saith he, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Jesus wants us to submit. to let him lead. Psalms 138. Psalms 138 and verse 6. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Proverbs 3, verse 34. Surely he scorneth the scorners. Giveth grace to the lowly. You know, with these words, these verses that we just read, the challenge is given that we need to be humble. We need to be teachable. We need to be willing to listen to the voice of God and to allow him to do the leading in our lives day by day. And so sitting there on the mountain that day, Jesus begins to speak. Matthew chapter 5, verse 2. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So with these words, we have the beginning of the greatest sermon ever preached. But for the people sitting there that day, it must have puzzled them. They were hoping he would say what they could do to be rid of the Romans. Not to be. Instead, they would be given a message of hope that they had not given any thought to before. In verse 3 we read, Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Psalms 51. Come with me there. Psalms 51. Psalms 51 and verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Proverbs 16, 18 and 19. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before fall. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. What a change in thought for these people to consider. And as the people gave serious thought was being said, the hope of the future became a little bit clearer. That the one who was actually talking to the soul. Not to the emotions, but to the heart of the person who was willing to listen. As Jesus spoke that day, those listening to his words would get a clearer picture of their own needs. Of their own needs. And that the one sitting there before them, only he could give them hope. A hope that they did not know before. Sure, they had gone to the priest, but what help were they? Especially for the poorer ones. No help at all. For the poor in spirit, there is hope in Jesus, even for the day. Isaiah chapter 1. Come with me there. For the poor in spirit, there is hope in Jesus. Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. For the poor in spirit, Jesus says, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Beautiful. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. How we know this passage ever so well. Matthew 11. Verse 28 onwards. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's beautiful. For the poor in spirit, for those who are feeling discouraged, how beautiful it is to know that Jesus is there, that he loves us each one. Titus chapter 2. Come with me there. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Beginning with verse 11. Titus chapter 2, beginning with verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. That's hope. For those people sitting there that day, what hope they found. Here was the one who could lift up their spirits and give them hope. Hope they'd never known for a long time before, and what joy it was to partake of that hope. And ask the question, but what about you and me? Have we partaken of that hope? We've tasted and seen for ourselves that the Lord is good, that he is really there for us each one. He cares. To know that he loves us, to know that he is willing to give all, that you and I might one day live with him. To the poor in spirit, that's hope. That's wonderful hope for the soul. Matthew chapter 5. In verse 4 says, blessed are they that mourn. They shall be comforted. We read that for those that mourn, they will find comfort. But in a real world of pain, where there is little interest for the person hurting, where do we go? Where do we go to find that comfort? Can we have comfort in this world in which we are all living? Can there be a real solution to the messes that we face every day? John 12. John chapter 12. John 12. I like this verse. Jesus said in verse 32, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Want to find a solution? Look to Jesus. Look to him. Psalm 39. Psalm 39. Psalm 39. Verse 7 and 8. Now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. what wonderful words we have. Mourning is not forever. Joy comes in the morning. Let us look to Jesus and hold on to him, for with him is the fullness of joy, hope, and life. What he has promised you, he will do. He will never let you down. Ellen White makes this statement, Thoughts on a Mount of Blessings, page 11. The Lord will work for all who put their trust in him. Precious victories will be gained by the faithful. Precious lessons will be learned. Precious experiences will be realized. I'm reminded of the words of James in James chapter 4. Come with me there. James chapter 4, beginning with verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves there, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. You know what the challenge is found in these words? To be willing to surrender to God and to let him do the leading, to allow him to guide us moment by moment of every day. For those who mourn, Jesus is a real friend who wants to be there for you and to lift you up. Blessed are they that mourn. They shall be comforted. Jesus is there to lift you up. Matthew 5, verse 5. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, to inherit the earth. We could ask the question, hey, is this really so? Is it really so? That the meek will inherit. Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Psalm 37. 10 and 11. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place. Shall not be, but the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Beautiful words, isn't it? Isaiah 29. Come with me there. Isaiah 29:18-19. And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. For the terrible one is brought to naught, and the consumer and the scorner is consumed, and all that watch for iniquity are cut off. What hope? Isaiah 61, beginning with verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Get the point? Salvation is open unto all. Jesus is giving the gift of being with him, not just to the rich, but to everyone. And you and I are included in that invitation as well. It is something special for us all to hold on to. Are we willing to take hold of the gift? And speaking of meekness, I'm reminded of a statement Ellen White again wrote, that the world's Redeemer had a greater than angelic nature, yet united with his divine majesty was meekness and humility that attracted all to himself. What a statement. That Jesus, the one who brought all things into place, united his majesty with meekness. This gives hope for us all. That we all can feel invited to come to the feet of Jesus and to be welcomed there. Paul makes a statement. The Apostle Paul, Philippians chapter 2. Come with me there. Philippians chapter 2. Here is a challenge for each one. Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of robbery, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion of a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. What a picture. When you take in this picture and consider it objectively, what do you see? You see Jesus. Jesus who is God with us. Jesus who takes the form of a servant. Jesus who died that we all may live one day with him. That is what we would call being meek and obedient to his calling. Reminder of another statement. Thoughts on the Mount of Blessing, page 15. When we receive Jesus as an abiding guest in the soul, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know what a challenge these words are. What a challenge for the soul too. For the people sitting there that day on that mountain top, it would have come as a jolt to their ears. It was not quite what they had in mind. But for the poorer ones who were listening that day, they would have felt a new hope they've never had before. Sure, it went against everything they were hoping to hear. But I didn't stop listening. And yes, they did still hope for something else. But at this point, the Sermon of the Mount was not yet ended. There were still more lessons to be learned. I'll see you next time. Dear Heavenly Father, as we leave this place today, may it be with a desire that Jesus will lead us all the way to heaven. What a wonderful day it's going to be. May we each remain faithful, that we will know the joy of seeing Jesus, our Saviour, face to face. May this be our experience, is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.